The title of today's sermon is The Day of the Church. Again, I'm going to be redefining the word church until it becomes ingrained in us that as you look around at the brethren, you think of them as being the church. If we don't do that, when we read the scriptures, we keep thinking of it happening to somebody else or being somewhere else. And the scriptures that God tells us about, especially the ones that we'll be touching on today, the coming kingdom of God has to do with the brethren. In fact, the brethren are the ones that are going to make up the kingdom of God. They're the ones that Jesus Christ and His Father are even preparing right now. That is the group that God is working with. So I hope to redefine that as we look at each other. We are the called out ones. We are the ones that are now led by God's Holy Spirit. If indeed we are submissive and follow, we are the children of God. And it has all different kind of tags on it as we go through the Bible. Sometimes it's called the temple. We'll see more of that while we're at the feast. Sometimes it's called the church. Sometimes the children of God or the people of God. It's a lot of different places, but it's talking about the same set of people. Leviticus 23, let's begin there. This is where God tells us and commands us to keep His feast. Leviticus 23 and verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel. That's us. See another one of the tags that God uses for us. Today we're the children of Israel, as it says in Galatians 6:16. You just put that in your notes, Galatians 6:16. We are the Israel of God. Again, same set of people. It's not all, you know, in some far town or something. Think of us. Say unto us, the children of Israel, the 15th day of the 7th month, that's today, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Brethren, we have come out of the world. Though the world's going by, there's still news, there's still things going on in the Middle East. You know, where you work, you know, everybody else is still at work. We have come out of the world. You know, it's a picture of coming out and being separate all through the year. For 7 days unto the Lord. We live these 7 days as kings and priests. It's why we've set aside our second tithe. It's why we come here and we eat nicer meals and stay in nice places and see sights and fellowship with the brethren. A picture of the coming kingdom of God, which is the big get-together of all of God's people. We're just doing a mini kingdom of God this week. That's what we're doing. For 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. So today is the day when you have to go and get together. Convocation just means getting together. You shall do no servile work therein. Go to Daniel chapter 7. I'm going to go quickly. This is going to be a rather short message. I plan to end it at 12:30. But we are going to briefly touch on some of the pictures that God holds up for us to show us what will shortly take place or what will shortly happen to us and, you know, to this world that we stand on and to the people that we mingle with. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Daniel 7 and verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Now notice this. Most important line in this message today. Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. I'm glad it didn't say church, you see, because that would have thrown us off. It's going to be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Jesus Christ is going to be the ruler. But you see, the kingdom of God is going to be given to us. It's not so much, I don't believe, a reward. I think we're motivated to think in terms of reward. If I do this, if I'm good, if I do what I'm supposed to, cha-ching, you know, I get the reward. I don't like to look at it that way. I look at it as the kingdom of God is the way it's supposed to be. This world is not supposed to be as we see it. We've had a horrible year for little children being stolen and sometimes being slain. That ought not to be in our nation. A great deal of hurt and fear has swept across our people. Kingdom of God is going to be totally different from that. And you know the scriptures. Little children will be able to play even among the most dangerous of situations and be safe. Isaiah chapter 2. Suffice it to say that the kingdom of God is for the people of God. It's not given to any organization. It's not given to any group. It's given to the saints. That just means saints is just a simple word that means holy ones, those who are set apart. Brethren, we are set apart. Not the purpose of this message to talk about how we're set apart. We're the set apart ones. We're the holy people. We are the people of God. Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So Isaiah, and it gives his genealogy, this is what he saw for the nation, Judah, for the city, Jerusalem. This is representative of the people of God. Here's what he saw. This is a vision from God. It shall come to pass in the last days, brethren, we're living in the last days. It's going to come to pass. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. That is Bible talk for it's going to be God's way. There's lots of ways right now. My way, your way, you know, America's way, Israel's way. There's a lot of different ways. We all have all these little groups of running. Not far from here, there's the Cherokee way. They still, you know, maintain their tribal identity, from the days of pre-Columbian. There's all of these little hills or little mountains. God's mountain, God's rulership, God's way is going to be established. The top of the mountains shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come you, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. That's what's going to be established. We'll walk in his path, for out of Zion, usually, brethren, when you're studying through the scriptures, if you see Zion, substitute the people of God, the holy people, the church, the assembly, the called out ones, whether it's in the Old Testament, the church in the wilderness, or us today. When you see Zion, think, oh, that's us. That's the way to think of it. For out of Zion shall go the law. That tells us we are going to be there at Jerusalem. Other scriptures in Revelation say we will be pillars in the temple. That's what the exact status of the saints at this particular time. You know, literally upholding, standing up for the things of God. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. We've always seen this picture of the feast. Just on the news this week, saw a couple big army tanks going in, leveling a compound over in a Palestinian area not far from Jerusalem, just leveling it to the ground. I don't know how much tomatoes would cost. I don't know how much vegetables would cost. If all of the money that we are putting into armaments, you know, we have a set of stealth bombers that are being flown as we speak over to someplace Diego in the Indian Sea, I forget the name of it, you know, just putting the bombers out there. You know how much a stealth bomber costs? Yeah, I can't count that high either. I mean, what would it amount to if that was put into good dirt, good food, good resources for our health, our environment, greenways, you know, parks for people to have more good air to breathe and everything. Beating our swords into plowshares is saying we're going to take the military machine, the money that we're putting into it, the resources that are wasted there for defense or for offense, and put it into the nourishment of the people. I think of that in a spiritual way too, brethren. We will be fed spiritually what is right. And anything that's being mismanaged right now. There are people that donate to all of these other churches that we see in town. They don't teach the true Jesus Christ. They don't teach his return. They don't teach the establishment of his way on this earth. All resources will be funneled in and channeled into a situation, a culture, a system that serves the people of God in a right way. I've heard it expressed that in America, I don't know what tax bracket you fall into. You might be in one of the smaller brackets, or you might pay 28%, or you might pay 40%. I don't know how high it goes. It's not going to affect me, so I don't have to look it up. But we pay a lot of taxes. What if in the kingdom of God, our tithe, giving back to God some of what he has given us, is sufficient to run the whole country? If we weren't fighting wars, if we didn't have a military machine, if we didn't have politicians that are, you know, too many politicians doing their job, if that was all funneled into proper management, this world would run simply on the tithe to the church, to the people that govern, rule, help everything to go right. You wouldn't have to have this great big overburdened tax burden that we have. This is telling us that there's going to be an entire new society for mankind. Swords into plowshares. It means more than just that one implement. Spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We don't have to be fearful. We don't even have to be watchful during those years. O house of Jacob, come you, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Start doing it God's way, brethren. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll just go through these as Isaiah lays them out for a little while. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come once. It's proof that he's about to come again. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom. God says that it's going to get better and better and better. Now this week, hopefully, everything goes pretty good. Good food, good sleep, nice showers, fresh towels. It's hard for us to imagine it getting better and better and better. Now, there's some movie stars and so forth that live around here. I understand one of the ones that has one of the big shows lives out on a farm. And I'm sure there's security that keeps people from just wandering out there and saying, hey, I came by for coffee. You know, you can't mingle with people like that. But how much better can they possibly be eating today than we'll be able to eat today? You know what I did last night? I got a salad. The best salad I ever had. And at some time in your life, you have to have the best salad you ever had. I got to tell you a story. When I was a little boy, kind of like these fellows here, my daddy was a painter. He got paid on Friday. When he got paid, back in those days, you get your groceries at one place and meat in another place, and you go by Cooper's Meat Market, and you get a couple of pieces of meat for the week. But he'd always buy this treat, this very special treat, the treat that he told me and my little sister, she was 4 years younger than me, this is the best thing that there is. It was blue cheese. Blue cheese is the best thing that there is, especially when Daddy bought a pumpernickel. Pumpernickel can be used for football. I don't know how many of you have seen it. It almost takes a hacksaw because real, real tough black bread, strong bread. And you put mayonnaise on it. My wife doesn't let me eat mayonnaise anymore, but you have to have mayonnaise because it makes the blue cheese stick. It just keeps the little crumbles from falling off. And Daddy would give us a piece of that stuff. And we'd sit there and go, and he'd give us a piece of pumpernickel with mayonnaise and blue cheese on it. And we'd go, wow, that's the best thing there is. So last night I had my salad, and it was called something in blue. And you get this crumbled blue cheese that you sprinkle over it, over your salad. And the good part about it is when I eat my salad, carries me back to where I just took you, back to, you know, when my daddy was there and I was a little boy, feeling totally secure. You can't eat any better than that. So if we went out to where one of these movie stars are, now I don't know what you like the best, two eggs, over easy, you know, hash brown potatoes, maybe a big steak, two eggs, over easy and bad. Some people are hard. We can eat whatever we desire this week. And God says it gets better and better. That's the incredible part. How does it get better and better? Of the increase of His government, there will be no end. It gets better. To order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal, the Lord of hosts will perform it. Turn over to Isaiah 11. Brethren, these are promises of God that this miserable world that we are in is going to pass. And somebody has got to be there to be the one that says to the poor people that don't know, this is the way, walk you in it. If you don't murder, nobody's going to come around to murder you or your family. If you don't steal, nobody's going to steal from you. If you don't lie, that's going to be truth in the land. The world doesn't know that. The world honestly believes, that's the wrong adjective, the world believes that you can lie and get ahead. They think that you can do that. They think you can't. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 32. I tell you what, there is no 32. Since y'all don't have that in your Bible. And I'm having some trouble finding it in mine. Now let's start off in Isaiah 11 at the very beginning. Verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Speaking of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel. We don't have this kind of leadership today in the world. This is what's going to be in the kingdom of God. The Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and the reverence, the respect for God. Be a quick understanding, a lively understanding. Nobody will say, I didn't get a fair shake. It didn't work out right. The system was unjust. It's going to be right in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove with the hearing of his ears. God, you know, Jesus Christ is not going to get it wrong. He's going to get it right. But with righteousness shall he judge. He's going to get it right. The poor. He will reprove with equity. Equity means even if it doesn't fit the law, if it doesn't fit the situation, the way God comes out with the answer is going to fit the situation perfectly. That's what equity means. Kind of making everything equal. For the meek of the earth, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. There will not be wickedness in the earth in those days. Something's going to have to change, brethren. Our very character is going to have to change. You know, do we still realize, even though we are the holy people of God, that in here still abides no good thing? The only good thing that can be here is when we put on the righteousness of Christ. Then we kind of look righteous because, you know, you see Christ when you look at each other. That's the only good thing. This heart is desperately wicked. It needs to change. The very core of our being needs to change. We see that as we go on here. Verse 5. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And then we have the picture that we always have at the feast. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You see what we have here, brethren, is the very nature of the animals being changed, which reflects our character, our nature being changed. We are not going into the kingdom of God like we are right now. You know what we would do if we went into the kingdom of God like right now, just like we are? Let's do it. Everybody ready? Let's do it. We'd mess it up. We'd mess it up. We would not do. Nope. Let's not fool ourselves. We would not do any better than the presidents of this nation. We wouldn't do any better. Just for an example, I was going to say our founding fathers, you know, God bless them. They did a fantastic job of getting this nation off to a good start under God. Our founding fathers were a gift to us. That was godly intervention, and that's why we have these blessings that were promised to Abraham. You and I would mess it up. We're not ready right now to rule in the kingdom of God. We do not know how to deal out equity. It would always be unfair. We can't, with these eyes and these ears, get it right. Jesus Christ shows us how he's going to deal. We will be like him. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones and lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. His very nature is going to be changed. And here it shows us how safe it is. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play on the snake's den, and the weaned child shall play on the, he put his hand on the cockatrice den. You know, you're not going to get bit. There's not going to be any violence or hurt. Verse 9, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, part of what we'll see at this feast, and we can't even begin to cover it, because it's a huge undertaking. Every now and then you see the government go in and clear out a section and build all new things. It's an amazing thing that the world trade towers, after they fell down into a horrible mess in the Pentagon, you know, with the big hole, gaping hole inside. The Pentagon was completely cleaned up, repaired, and fixed within 1 year. The World Trade Center, they cleaned it up in a year. This entire earth, picture that picture, if you will, of when those trade towers fell down into that great heap of twisted metal, and think of this earth being in that shape. I didn't see how they could clean that thing up as quick as they did. They worked on it day and night, as many crews and as much equipment as they could put on it. That's the way we're going to attack evil and hurt in this whole world when Christ comes back. It'll take some time to clean it up. That's the story for another day. Until the knowledge of the Lord are as the waters that cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest, that word rest, just plug in millennium. God's 1,000-year rule, the rest, the peace on this earth, shall be glorious. That's the way it's going to be. Now this should be a glorious spiritual peace for us, because we get to think about this and we get to know how it's going to be. It's not a pipe dream. It's not. This is the way it's going to be. There are people in God's church that can think back to when there were no paved roads in this country to speak of. I think there were one or two little roads somewhere. And most of the way coming over here, I was on the interstate. You can drive 70 miles an hour. It's wide. It's straight. That's an improvement over a dirt winding trail. But that's not what glorious. It means it's going to be fantastic and beautiful and bright, God's rest and peace on this earth. It shall come to pass, if we're in verse 11, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant. Notice this, I like the way it says it. He doesn't say the remnant of his church. He says the remnant of his people. The exact same thing. He's going to take his people, which shall be left from Assyria, because see, God's not willing that any should perish. God wants to take people, and he wants us to do it right. He wanted people to do it right at the time of Adam and Eve. He wanted people to do it right when he called the children of Israel out of Egypt. He wants us to do it right now. We can't do it right. Without the Spirit of God directing us, living in us, we can't hope to get it right. So this, he's going to recover the second time. It couldn't be any clearer than this. The remnant of his people. This is so people can't say, oh, this is referring to, you know, when they came out of Egypt or whatever. And he makes it clear. We're in verse 11. For the second time he'll recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Patras and Cush, from Elam, that's Persia, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea, and they shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble, that's another word for the church, the assembly of God, assemble the outcasts of Israel, just like those people that were kicked out at the time of Diotrephes. We are the kicked out ones, brethren, the outcasts. And gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So this is going to be a great coming together. It doesn't matter whether you're in Africa or Asia or Europe or America, from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah. Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together, and they shall lay the hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. This is Ammonites, the children of Lot. Verse 15, and the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. I guess that's that delta that goes out there into the Mediterranean. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river. That's the Euphrates River that we're talking about here now. I don't believe it's the Nile. And shall smite it in the seven streams and make the end of over dry shot, be dried up to walk across. There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left. Now this tells us very clearly that there are people that are left. So after the tribulation, this is the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth, and you got to get all these people together and start teaching them. What's going to be the first thing that they're going to teach these people that come down from Assyria, or these people that are brought in from Egypt? Will it be about pollution? Some people preach a gospel of pollution. Will it teach people to quit polluting the earth? Or will it teach people that they ought to work harder? You know, the first thing that we're going to teach people is the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. Now, how is that going to help? Because you come on the Sabbath, you get godly instruction. You get godly instruction, you put it in your life. If you use it when you deal with your wife, you use it when you deal with your children, you use it when you deal with the people at work, and it becomes a godly nation. It's not God, Jesus Christ is not, brethren, going to come back and go, poof, you know, like you see a magician do on television. There's the kingdom of God. Have you at it? It's not going to be that way. We're going to go step by step, you know, object by object, lesson by lesson, and put it together. You know, with Jesus Christ giving us the instruction, here's one of the things that's going to have to be done. Somebody's going to have to build a highway. It's going to be a highway for the remnant of his people, which will be left from Assyria, that's way up there around Germany, like it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. You know, God just took those 3 million people and brought them into the land of Egypt. And we put this thought goes over into chapter 12. And in that day, you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, I don't know how many of you noticed, but Isaiah snuck a little one in right there on us. God is my salvation, in Hebrew, is the name Isaiah. So if we read this the way it's written, is, behold, Isaiah, I will trust. But Isaiah translated is, God is my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, or Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Brethren, it's a beautiful day ahead. This week is going to picture the kingdom of God. That is not but a scratch on the surface of what God has promised us for the coming kingdom of God. This week, let's talk about drawing close to God so that we will be the people of God, so that we will be the people who go in with Jesus Christ and help him to restore all of these things and establish the kingdom of God on this earth.